So here's Jacob hiking through the desert, and there is a lot of desert in the Holy Land, a lot of wilderness. He's heading for his uncle's home, and he's got quite a journey ahead, maybe 500 miles. 500 miles of mostly desert on foot. Now, the desert can be a beautiful place as you view it through the tinted windows of your air-conditioned car. But when you're Jacob, when you're running from your family, when you're running for your life, the desert is a threatening place. No shelter from the sun, only the water that you can carry. You're charting your course with the help of landmarks that you have never seen. And the sun acts as both a guide, but also a threat. And what does Jacob have with him? The clothes on his back. Something to carry water in. Not much else. After all, at night, all Jacob has for a pillow is a stone. It's the kind of country that the word God-forsaken was made to describe. So barren, so wild, so inhospitable to life that even God doesn't like to go there. But we know the story. So we know this just isn't so. Because lying there with a rock for a pillow, Jacob dreams of this great ladder. A ladder extending all the way up into heaven. Angels all around, and then the Lord standing right beside him. It says the Lord's right beside him there in that perhaps not God-forsaken place. Saying, the promise is to you, Jacob. To you. And wherever you go, I will be there with you. Wherever you go in this wilderness of a world, there I will be with you. And he wakes up and Jacob says to himself, but he also says it to us, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. For Jacob, this wilderness of a place is where he has encountered the living God. And so this place where he stands with all of its sand and rock, this is holy ground. Now, we sometimes think of a church as holy ground. Sometimes people say, I need to pray, and they need to come to a church. You know, and this is holy ground because we gather here every Sunday. But in the ancient world, the process was often reversed. Something holy happened in a place, and so they built a place of worship there. Someone encountered the living God here, and so they built a church right here. And that's what Jacob did. After he woke from his dream, he took some rocks and he built a little altar. Because there is the place that God had found him in a dream. So think about that for a minute. Maybe you should build a church in your daughter's bedroom where you read stories to her every night. Because if you think about it, that's holy ground. Maybe you should build a church in your workshop where you use your hands and tools to fashion things of beauty out of wood or paint or ceramics. Maybe you should build a church at your computer where you email people you love all over the country, all around the world. Maybe you should build a church at your kitchen table where you gather to break bread every day. But you gather to share something more than food. Maybe once in a while you should just stop and say, surely the Lord is in this place, wherever you are. Because God often comes to us in the places of our lives that are the ones we least expect. And most of the time we're probably not paying attention. So think about the places in your life where holy things happen. Where bread is broken, where connections are made, where your spirit is lifted. And maybe you ought to build a little church there. But maybe there's even more in this story of Jacob. What is it, Jacob? What else is there? Could it have to do more with the wilderness on the inside, Jacob, than with the desert on the outside? Could the power of this dream have more to do with the baggage you're carrying, Jacob? The baggage that's a lot more than the clothes on your back? Remember Jacob's story, a young man who cheats his older brother out of the birthright, who steals the blessing, who deceives his father, and finally a young man who's running for his life. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us anything about how Jacob's feeling at the moment, but it doesn't take much imagination to guess. Guilty? Lonely? Lost? So what if he's won the birthright if he has to leave home? So what if he has his parents' blessing if he thinks he may never see them again? So when Jacob says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it," perhaps Jacob is not just amazed that God has shown up in this God-forsaken desert. Perhaps Jacob is even more amazed that God has chosen to show up in his seemingly God-forsaken life. But that's how God works. God doesn't just show up in churches. All the world is holy ground if we're paying attention. And God just doesn't show up when things are going well. In fact, God is more likely to show up when they are not going well. I cannot tell you how many times I have heard people say, "It was when I got to the end of my rope, when I did not know which way to turn, that's when I found God." Or perhaps more properly put, that's when God found me. And so even today, we may be amazed that God shows up in the wilderness of our lives. Think about the high school graduate in May who's now sitting in August in his new dorm room. You look forward to this day for a year or more, maybe. And your parents have left, and now you're on your own, and this is the moment you have been waiting for, and you're supposed to be thrilled and ready to go, but this place doesn't feel like home. Not yet, anyway. It's a little bit lonely. What will your future be like? Who will your friends be? Right now, this dorm room is something of a wilderness. Then another human being walks through the door. And maybe you just barely see it, but he seems as uncertain as you. Surely the Lord is in that place. The room seems barren. Everything does in this tiny room with landscape paintings on pale green walls and institutional furniture. You only get to visit your loved one a few minutes every couple hours when they're in intensive care. And so you discover why it is that they call this a waiting room. All you do is wait with your fears and your regrets and your loneliness. It's a wilderness in there. But you are not the only one in the waiting room. And strangely, in a very short time, the other people in this waiting room have become like family. There is a bond that forms quickly in the waiting room of an intensive care unit. You tell them things you haven't mentioned in years. You laugh with them and you cry with them because you are pulling for their loved ones to come through just as they are praying for yours. Surely the Lord is in that place. The newly retired couple wonder how they're going to make it with the stock market doing what it's doing. Boy, that's a wilderness. With all the living to do and all the numbers that are up in the air, it's going to be harder than you thought. But surely the Lord is in that place too. That's harder to say to someone who's been through an earthquake in Mississippi or in China or a hurricane in Mississippi, or to someone who's just lost a loved one. But it has to be true there too, doesn't it? After all, the God we worship knows a lot about suffering, knows a lot about loss. And our God is in the resurrection business. So even in the midst of that most bleak of times, surely the Lord will show up in that place as well. Someone else is playing poker with your future. It's your job, perhaps, that they're betting on, or it's your marriage or your depression. And you wonder if it will always feel like this on the inside, dry as a desert. You might as well have a rock for a pillow with all the sleep you've been getting. But something, someone tells you to hold on. Hold on and trust, even when trust seems foolish. Because God always shows up in the most God-forsaken places. Somehow you do just that. You hold on and you discover for yourself that even here, even in this lonely, empty wilderness of a predicament, God is in that place too. Even though you did not know it. Sometimes our lives are about finding God, like finding treasure in a field, and you realize it, and there it is, and you'd give anything for that field, and you buy it. But sometimes our lives, maybe more often, our lives, we find ourselves being found by God. It's God who finds us in the most unexpected, seemingly God-forsaken places. And God shows up to renew our strength, to lend us courage, to surround us with love. Jacob found that to be true in the middle of the desert in the most amazing and unbelievable way. And ever since then, people sitting in pews like these, in fact, as I looked at your faces, people sitting in these very same pews, you have found that to be true as well. So if you find yourself in the wilderness with nothing but a rock for a pillow, hold on. Sooner or later, you will discover that the Lord is in your place. And you will know it. Pray with me. Gracious God, some of us are in that place right now, in that empty wilderness. Whoever they are, Lord, we lift them before you. Help them, Lord, to see that ladder. Help them to see those angels going up and down. And Lord, most of all, help them to hear your voice. And to know that indeed you, Lord, are in this place. We pray in Christ's name, for Christ's sake, for the world's sake, and for our own sakes. And let all God's people say, Amen.